Morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all this morning and good to be with you in this high holy day of all things in our church calendar, our liturgical calendar. This is a big day for us. And celebrate one of our sacraments. It's a high holy day in our, not only just our denomination, but within the Christian faith. The word Pentecost is only found in the New Testament. And in what you may have heard, the Apocrypha, which is a subsidiary of the Bible. So, penta is the Greek word for five, or 50. You've heard of the Pentagon, five-sided. Pentecost is commonly thought to follow Passover by 50 days. 7 weeks plus 1 day. That constitutes the 50 days and gets us where we're at right now. So Pentecost is 50 days, and the first fruits, rather than, it talks about that in the book of Deuteronomy, first fruits are part of that festival that the Jewish faith community was asked to participate in. And we read about that in the book of Leviticus, and we read about that in the book of Deuteronomy. But our Pentecost follows 50 days after Passover. So our reading this morning is from the book of Acts, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And it starts on page 1692 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together.
Holy Spirit, come again. As long ago you inspired, astonished, and confused the people, come to us now to fill our ears with the sound of your breath, fill our eyes with the brilliance of your presence in each other, fill our hearts with your good word. Amen.
Page 1692 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each of them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the words and wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, no, this is what it was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. We hear from the reading this morning from the book of Acts that there's an inbreaking, a breaking in of the Holy Spirit. This inbreaking means a great equalizing has happened, a revolution of sorts. This is quite a message from the book of Acts that we hear this morning. The world has, as we have known it, gets turned upside down, gets turned inside out. Women and men, young and old, slave and free, the Spirit pours over all. The distinct languages and cultures of the whole world's peoples becomes the word of the Lord. Direct communication of the divine deeds of the power of power happens, and no translations are needed. Utterly amazing. Utterly amazing. Everyone is on a level playing field when it comes to the power and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. No wonder onlookers are amazed, or even perplexed, or, well, even judgmental. Then, as now, we human beings categorize and compartmentalize. Residents of Judea they don't hang out with the Egyptians, right? They don't even talk to each other because, they can't talk to each other. They literally and figuratively don't speak the same language. Just like a cafeteria of a middle school, y'all know that. Everyone knows who sits at what table. You remember that? Yeah. Like sit with like. And no one dare cross those metaphoric lines, right? Invisible but as evident as the double yellow line on White Memorial Church Road. You know which table to sit at and which table not to sit at. Wind and flames are noteworthy. The disruption pales in comparison to the multitude of languages spoken by the disciples and the Holy Spirit given to everyone. The old human categories no longer apply to new community formed through Jesus Christ and ushered in by the Holy Spirit. No wonder onlookers are amazed and perplexed or even judgmental. Pentecost is revolutionary. Pentecost is revolutionary because the wind blows down barriers and the flames burn down walls between people separated by geography and culture and language and nationality and class and every other human-created category. Just like the prophet Joel proclaimed, now everyone will prophesy in languages that others understood in ways never before heard to people long pushed to the margin. God's deeds of power and Jesus' saving work are for everyone. And nothing will stand in the way of the Spirit's revolutionary witness. Pentecost is revolutionary. Turning upside down and inside out every human constructed category, divide, and barrier to God's constituting one family. Distinct languages remain, but now we can speak to one another and understand. Nothing will separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nothing will separate us from one another. Amen? Amen. And yet here we are in 2018, divided. the income gap grows. Schools have all but resegregated. And most neighborhoods are homogeneous. And churches? I'm looking around this morning. What happened to the revolution in Pentecost? What happened? Like so many revolutions, the initial fervor and the excitement gives way to a yearning for the familiar, the comfortable, even if the status quo was oppressive, limiting, and less than life-giving. Is it better to go back to the constraining categories, the more comfortable categories? We know than doing the work of learning a whole new way of life. Learning a whole new language? That's a hard question to ask of us in church. It's a hard question to ask within our families, within the construction of our families, functional or dysfunctional. The church traded the revolution of Pentecost for the comfort and the complacency of silos, of sameness. Pentecost becomes the day on the liturgical calendar to celebrate the birthday of the church instead of a day to remember that our entire world should be turned upside down and inside out when we commit to following Jesus Christ. Pentecost means that our circles of concern are expanded and multiplied and amplified. The charge that we're given this day on Pentecost is this: we are to become bilingual, trilingual, multilingual, always striving to speak more fluently and listen more closely until we come to a place where we know each other's language so well that we dream each other's dreams. So I ask you, friends and family, White Memorial, what happened? What happened to the revolution of Pentecost here? Is the wind and the flame of the Holy Spirit alive in this church? You can answer. Is it alive in this church?
Yes, I would say.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I would say it's alive. Yes. Very much so. Is the wind and the flame of the Holy Spirit alive in you? Can you feel the burning of the Holy Spirit in you? If not, where did the Spirit go? Where did the flame go? When was the last time something in this church or in our community caused you to be utterly perplexed because you could have never imagined anything like it? The Spirit continues to move. But how often have we heard the wind and barricaded ourselves in a windowless room until we are certain that the gusts have moved past us? The Spirit blows where it wills, and if we run away when we hear the wind and the sound of it, it's going to blow elsewhere. After the revolution comes the hard, the time-consuming, slow work of building a new order, a new way of life together. That's true for Pentecost, too. A Spirit-constituted community, if it is to last and grow, it requires work. Hard work. Mental work. Physical work, emotional work, spiritual work, not complacency. Speaking another's language is challenging. And hearing someone speak a language that they have not yet mastered, well, that calls for a lot of patience. Breaking down those walls takes work. And the rubble of those walls that are broken down, those once formidable walls, They've got to be addressed and hauled away and reused and perhaps recycled in a different way. Creating a new common vocabulary comes only with time and the love of a shared experience. The pull of the old familiar categories and patterns and our own native language, well, that's strong. It's comfortable. No wonder we'd rather sing happy birthday and blow out the candles and go back to the same pew that we've sat in for years. Spirit community asked not just a lot of us, but the Holy Spirit community asks everything that you have, all that you are, nothing left on the table. Union Presbyterian Seminary every year puts on these various lectures. I don't get to go up there, but I'd love to someday, but it's called the Sprint Lectures, and I have the gift of listening to Willie James Jennings of Yale University lecture recently. In his last lecture, he had a really provocative statement. He said, "Too many pastors have become high priests of segregation." He went on to explain that they have settled for love of their own people, rather than using love to create a new people. Creating and celebrating the birthday of the church on Pentecost, well, that's kind of like settling for love of our own people. Recognizing the barrier-breaking new community-constituting revolution and attempting to learn another's language, well, that's stepping into wind and flame and attempting to create a new people. So during the question and answer period, a person in the sanctuary asked how we pastors might move away from being high priests of segregation. And Jennings replied, "I tell pastors, think very carefully about your loves. Make sure your life gives witness to a wider love. That's the power of Pentecost. The Spirit gives us the ability to imagine a wider love beyond our own people, expanded into all of God's creation." Every year when the liturgical calendar rolls around and Pentecost comes about, we dust off our red stoles, and we're challenged. And the challenge is to learn a new language. A new language that is not our own. A language the Spirit will give us the ability to speak. A language that we will need to practice long after the visible, perplexing flames have left the room. Once God ushers in the revolution of the intimate, we are asked and tasked with building a whole new life together that takes patience and intention, and work, and forgiveness, and grace. Pentecost is far more than the church's birthday. It turns the whole world upside down and inside out. And if we aren't perplexed and amazed and confused at what is happening within our communities of faith, it might be time to blow out the candles and go home. It might be time to get out from behind our walls and meet the neighbors. You know the ones. The ones that speak another language. Learn their languages and expand our loves. And perhaps maybe we can do that by sitting in a new pew, a different pew. Perhaps we can do that by changing our perspective. Being intentional and living into what the Spirit calls and how having the faith that perhaps if it's uncomfortable, we can learn that language. Anyway. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.